Wayne, all I can say is that you were called and you answered the call.
Amen.
You did a fine job.
Thank you, sir.
No preparation.
Thank you.
Required on your part. You know, it's good when you can call upon a church member and a church member responds in the positive. So we want to thank Wayne for his song services, and I want to thank all of you for helping him out.
Amen.
And for all of us that are here today, God has blessed us once again.
Amen.
Today is the Lord's day, and this is the day that the Lord has made. God is good all the time, and all the time God is good. This morning, the scripture was read for you. Oh, and by the way, I also want to thank Brother Bill for that very spirited prayer that he gave this morning. So everybody is on time this morning and all ready for another Lord's Day. And even though it's very warm outside, God is still good. And even though things may not be the way you want them to be, God is still good. Even though you may not be feeling your best, God is still good. Let us take a moment as we go to God in prayer. Dear Lord, our God and our Heavenly Father, we want to say thank you, Lord. We want to say thank you because of what you have done for us. We want to say thank you, Lord, because you opened our eyelids this morning from the sleep and slumber that we were in. We want to say thank you because you opened them to a bright new sunny day, O Lord. And we thank you, Lord. Father, when we slept and slumbered last night, we didn't know where we were going to be when the morning time came, but you left us here, and we thank you, Lord. Father, we want to pray and thank you for the church, especially the local congregation here on Stony Island. We want to pray and thank you for the leadership here and their families. We want to pray for those brethren and their family that have taken part in the services thus far, and we want to pray for those who shall come beyond us from this point on. We want to thank you, O Heavenly Father, that you have blessed us to be here. We want to thank you that you may continue to bless the sick and the shut-in. And Lord, please not let us be distracted by things that are going on around this country right now, O Lord. And we don't have to give an opinion on what we think about what took place in Florida, but nevertheless, I know everybody has an opinion, but you are still in charge, and let us all remember that, O Lord. Justice shall be served, whether it was served on yesterday or whether it be served in the end. You shall have the last say so, O Lord. Father, we thank you and we pray for those families who are suffering this morning from whatever that may be tiding them, O Lord. And we pray for the child who was caught up in the sand trap, the sand dune the other day. We pray for the people that were involved in the crash early or late last night. Early this morning on the west side that killed the person. We pray for all the families of those who are suffering and needless deaths. And Father, we know that you see it all, and you have your hand upon us, and you can have your hand upon this world, and you can change it any time you get ready. But Lord, we're just praying that you give us a space and time for those who have not met thee, that they may come before the throne before it's everlastingly too late. We thank you, O Heavenly Father, for all those that may be sick in our midst, and we continue to pray for their well-being. We ask you now, Heavenly Father, to be with us, even though we're few in numbers this morning. We pray for those who are out. We pray for those who may be traveling, and we pray especially for those who are here, O Lord. We thank you for everything and everybody and everyone who loves the Lord. And we pray for those who haven't learned to love you yet, that they may get that opportunity before it is everlastingly too late. We thank you this morning, Father, for everything you're doing. And it is in the name of your Son, Jesus, we continue to pray and ask it all. Let us all say, Amen. This morning, the scripture was read for your hearing from 1 Corinthians, the 11th chapter. And starting at the 24th verse, 1 Corinthians 11 chapter in the 24th verse. And some may say, well, Brother Carter, isn't that what we do lastly before the worship service is over? Yes, it is. But we're going to do it somewhere a little bit earlier today as well. This is a part of the Lord's in memory of Jesus, what I want to say. One very aspect, very important aspect of the worship service is that of the memorial service, the Lord's Supper, or the communion, if you will. All three are one in the same, one in the same thing. It is a time for Christians to do their own personal soul searching. There are several things we must keep in mind regarding this very important time of the worship service. It is a time to remember the Lord, and it is a time to look at ourselves. It is also a time to examine our relationship. When we take it upon ourselves to examine ourselves, that's a pretty tall order, because most of us are going to be biased toward ourselves. We're going to be biased when it comes to talking about or examining my own self. We're going to be biased when you think about me. I'm going to be biased against myself, biased toward myself. For example, take children. We'll take children for an example. And we'll say that children are not ever likely to shoulder the entire blame for a matter. When something goes wrong, they'll admit to doing something. Who broke that glass? They'll say, I did, but so-and-so told me to do it. And adults are not very different from that. Take an adult wife, a wife who says, I know I shouldn't have bought that, but don't you just love the way it fits me? Hoping that the husband will say, yes, I do. But don't you just love the way it fits me? I know you all would like to think that everything that we do is good. Everything that we say is good, but everything we do and say is not always good. Everything we do and say is not always the best thing for us to say. When it comes to our relationship with Christ, we can't put the blame on anyone but ourselves. We can't be halfway right. When we're either all right or all wrong. And I've told you before, a half truth is nothing but a whole lie. A half truth is just a total lie. That's why I think about it sometimes and I say to myself, I can't be halfway right and halfway wrong. I've got to either be all right or I've got to be all wrong. There's no halfway point. So in 2 Peter chapter 1 in the verses 10, the Bible says, wherefore the brethren give diligence to make your calling and election sure. For if we do these things, we shall never fail. Even though one may go to church each and every Sunday, they still can be lost. Why? Because they may not have a right relationship with the Lord. You know, you can come to church, but you don't have to be in church. You can come to church, but you don't have to be part of the Lord's body. You can be sitting here, but not really here, if you understand what I mean. As with all Christians, we must ask ourselves the question that we find in Matthew chapter 7 around verses 3 through 5. How can we concern ourselves about the mote in our own eye, about the mote in someone else's eye, and not see the beam in our own eye? You know, I can talk about folk from time to time. I can say, so-and-so ain't right. But then I'm clouded by my vision of my own self. I'm clouded because I've decided that I'm going to put the blame on somebody else and not on me. I'm thinking about how good I am. In other words, before you try to fix me, you ought to fix yourself. Then you might be able to help me. Wouldn't it be an awful disappointment to stand before God in the judgment and Jesus said, depart from me, for I knew you not, for your work was that of iniquity? Isn't it a wonderful thing that we have the Lord's Supper before us in the church service? This is a time that we ought to examine our relationship with the Lord. It is a time, if you will, if you look at 1 Corinthians chapter 11, look at verse number 24. And it says, and when he had given thanks, he brake it and said, take, eat. This is my body which is broken for you. This do in remembrance of me. And then verse 25, after the same manner, also he took the cup when he had supped, saying, this cup is the New Testament in my blood. This do ye as oft as ye drink it in remembrance of me. We've got to do this because we are examining a relationship with the Lord. We've got to remember the Lord when we partake of the Lord's Supper. We've got to remember why we're partaking of the Lord's Supper. You do this in remembrance of me. This is not for you because you may be hungry at the time. It's not for you because I just need a little something to chew on for a few minutes. That's not what it's all about. It's in remembrance of the Lord Jesus Christ. He said, I just read for you in verse 24 and 25. It says, do this do in remembrance of me. Right along the front of that table there, it should be the word, in remembrance of me. In remembrance of me. So when you think about it, you've got to examine your relationship with Jesus Christ. It is also a time for us to remember. That's why it is sometimes called the memorial service. Memorial services are a time to remember, a time to think about something, a time to think about someone. We remember Jesus by allowing our minds to go back to Calvary and what happened on that cross at Calvary, what took place there, and how that God loved us, how that He gave His only begotten Son for us, according to John chapter 3 and verse 16. Remember how that Christ in Matthew 27 and verse number 45, how that Jesus hung on the cross in darkness from 12 noon till about 3 o'clock in the afternoon. For 3 hours the sun refused to shine. The sun didn't show its face in this dark time. It wouldn't shed its light. Then about the ninth hour, from the sixth hour through the ninth hour, from about ninth hour, which was around 3 p.m., it began to clear up. We are to remember Jesus, for He suffered for us, and He died for us, and then He arose for us. We use the term the communion. Communion means that that our relationship should be an intimate one with the Lord Jesus Christ. A time when our thoughts should be on Him. Our recollection should be on Him. Notice, if you will, in verse number 10 of 1 Corinthians chapter 16. In 1 Corinthians chapter 6 and verse number 10. Verse number 10 and chapter 10 and verse 16, what I'm trying to say. The cup of the blessing which we bless, is it not the communion of the blood of Christ? The bread which we break, is it not communion of the body of Christ? The writer poses those two questions. He said, the cup of blessing which is the communion which we bless, and is it not the communion of the blood of Christ? The bread which we break, is it not the communion of the body of Christ? This is a profession of being His people, that our relationship and our recollection should bring us even closer to Him, partaking of His body and blood. Should mean our alliance is to Him, our devotion is to Him, and our friendship is toward Him. And I may as well say this while I'm here. Your mind should all be concentrating on Him during the communion, not on a ringing phone, nor on a hot text message that's coming in. And certainly I know that most of you are not doing that, but I just thought I'd throw that out there anyway, just to let you know. That text message can always wait. That ringing phone, shut it off. Shut it off. When we partake of the body and blood of Christ, it's not about me. It's about Him. Notice in our text in verse number 24 and 25 once again. Take, eat, this is my body which is broken for you. This do in remembrance of me. Then in verse 25, this cup is the New Testament in my blood. This do ye as oft as you drink it in remembrance of me. You see how it's described? The broken bread, for His broken body, and the cup being the New Testament in my blood. When we see these words, do this. Then we see these words, do this. In remembrance of me. You see, when I'm remembering the Lord, I shouldn't have nothing else on my mind. I shouldn't be thinking about where I was at last night and what I did last night. I shouldn't be thinking about what I'm going to do as soon as the... You know, some folks sit in the church with their minds made up. As soon as the door is open, I'm rushing out. I'm getting out of here. But I tell you something. Sundays, the Lord's Day, the first day of the week is the Lord's Day. And upon the first day of the week, where are we supposed to be? We're supposed to be in the household of the Lord. Isn't that right? And if you can't give the Lord a couple of hours, and certainly I know that me, when I preach, I don't preach a real long time. I purposely don't, because I know you have other places to go. But it is the Lord's Day, and we should be in remembrance of that. We should remember whose day it is and that relationship that we have formed with the Lord. So then, in verse number 26, it says, "For oft, as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you do show the Lord's death till He comes." It is a time of reflection. It should be a time for us to reflect and demonstrate. Reflect on our love and devotion toward Him who died for us. In that verse of number 26 of 1 Corinthians 11, this verse explains answers the question how often and what we are to be demonstrating. We do it upon the first day of the week so that we may not only remember but also reflect that we love our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. We are reflecting on the words found in verse 26 as a show of faith. A show of faith in Him. Letting others know that I believe in Jesus. The verse says, till He comes. The Bible has already told us that He's coming back. In Acts verses 1 and 11, you can see where the Bible tells us that the same way He left, He's going to return again. He shall return in the same manner. That He was going up to heaven, but that He shall come back. So when I think about it, church, if I'm thinking about and I'm reflecting on Jesus, can I really reflect on anything else? Can I really reflect on anybody else doing as much for me as Jesus has done for me? And I know there are so many things to vie for your attention. And even on Sunday mornings, many folk allow other things to infiltrate their mind. They think about, I got to get up in the morning. It's Monday morning. They think about, I can't wait so when I get out this afternoon, I'm going to dinner. I can't wait till I get home this afternoon because it's going to be a hot day and I want to sit up under my fan or up under my air conditioner. But I tell you, when you're in here and you're doing the Lord's Supper, you're supposed to be concentrating and reflecting on Him. And there are those who would say, well, if I'm reflecting on Him, I ought to have my mind directly on Him. And some would say, how can I reflect on Him with all the disturbances going on around me? Shut them out. Shut the disturbances out of your mind. Do this in remembrance of me. Let us remember that Jesus is coming back. And one day when He comes back, would we be found with our minds reflecting on something other than Him? He's coming back according to Revelation 22 and verse number 20. He tells us that He'll return quickly. When we partake of the Lord's Supper, we are rejoicing in the hope that He's going to return. And then, church, finally, when it comes to partaking in the memorial, the communion or the Lord's Supper, each and every one of us must decide for ourselves. We must do this by self-examination. Asking of yourself, am I in Christ? Is my heart and my hands clean? Preferably ask yourself these kinds of questions before partaking in the Lord's Supper. If one finds that I really do not know the Lord, then you follow up with the more important question. How can I eat and drink in remembrance of Jesus if I don't really know Him, if I'm not really a part of Him? Look at verse number 27. Wherefore, whosoever eateth the bread and drink of this cup in the Lord unworthily shall be guilty of the body and blood of the Lord. But I like verse number 28. It really breaks it down. It says, but let a man examine himself, and so let him eat of that bread and drink of that cup. So when you eat of that bread and drink of that cup, what are you saying? See, Lord, I love you. That's what you should be saying. You ought to be thinking of nothing but the Lord, nothing but the blood of Christ, nothing but the way that He died on yonder's cross, nothing but the way that He hung on yonder's cross, nothing but what He did for us and what He still does for us. If one finds that I really do not know the Lord, and then you follow up with that more important question also. You say, how can I eat and drink in remembrance of Jesus Christ if I don't know Him? How can I eat and drink and partake of the Lord's body and blood when I really don't know the Lord? Look at the text once again. Let us go back in verse number 24 and verse number 25 again. Verse 24 and 25. And when he had given thanks, he broke and said, take, eat, this is my body, which is broken for you. This do in remembrance of me. After the same manner also he took the cup when he had supped, saying, this cup is the New Testament and my blood. This do ye as oft as you drink it in remembrance of me. Now I don't see anywhere in there where it tells you to think about me. Where it tells me, I'll put me in there. Where it tells me to think about me. It says, in remembrance of me, which is Jesus speaking. And so whatever is on my mind, whatever I'm thinking about, I ought to clear my mind when it comes down to the Lord's Supper. If the preacher didn't clear your mind, you ought to clear your own mind. And don't put it on the preacher if you can't concentrate. Just say you didn't clear your own mind. This do in remembrance of me. For as often as ye eat this bread and drink this cup, you do show the Lord's death till he come. For whosoever shall eat of this bread and drink of this cup of the Lord unworthily shall be guilty of the body and blood of the Lord. But let a man examine himself, so let him eat of that bread and drink of that cup. There's the directive there to you. You've got to think for yourself. You've got to examine yourself. And you know, a lot of us, we don't like to do inventory on ourselves. You know, that's not right. I can't criticize my own self. That's the way some of us feel. But you know, when I'm wrong, I ought to be able to admit that I'm wrong. I ought to be able to say to myself, Brother Carter, you're wrong. And it's a poor situation when I look in the mirror at myself and can't tell myself that I'm wrong. And I'm not, as I told you early on, I'm not halfway wrong or halfway right. I'm either all wrong or all right. And when it comes down to the Lord's table, He says to us, do this in remembrance of me. Do this in remembrance of me. And while I'm along these lines, you got to remember that the table is about Jesus, of whom we are memorializing. In other words, you've got to ask yourself the question, is your heart right with God? And since I'm not going to do a whole message on it real soon, I may as well throw the other C in there too. The other C is the collection. If you love the Lord when you are in remembrance of Him, now just before you get in remembrance of Him, you're supposed to have your collection ready. And I may as well tell somebody around here all the time, somebody might be guilty of this sometime or another. When you come to church, have your money ready. Don't get it ready when the plate is passed around to you. Have it ready when you get here. And then when you have it ready when you get here, make sure you've examined yourself again to ask yourself, am I giving the best that I can give? Because Jesus gave His best, did He not? When He died on the cross, the reason that we celebrate the table, the reason that we partake in the table is because He died for us. And if He died for us, what more? If I had to pay my own way, I couldn't afford it. to pay my own way out of what I was in. But yet Jesus died for us. He hung on that cross for us. He gave up His life for us. And I asked the question this morning, isn't it worth more than a dollar? Isn't it worth some dollars? Isn't it worth some dollars when you go back and you look at this, what it says? Do this in remembrance of me. When you take up that cup, that bread in that cup, you ought to be reminding yourself, Lord, You have been so good to me. Lord, I couldn't have been as good to me as You have been to me. I can't do what You can do, Lord. I'm not able to pay my own way. So You paid the way for me. You paid it all with every drop of Your blood, oh Lord. When those soldiers stuck the spear in Your side and out came the blood and the water. Lord, You were paying the price for me, not for you. How many times must I make this message clear to you that the Lord died on yonder's cross for us and that we are celebrating His memorial when we celebrate this table, when we partake in this table, and you ought to be in tune with God when you partake of the table by asking yourself, am I in tune with Christ? Am I in with Christ? Am I doing the right thing? Am I living right? And every one of us has something to examine ourselves about. And some of us may say, well, preacher, I don't really do anything, so I know I'm all right. Well, just because you think you're all right doesn't mean that you're all right. You've got to ask yourself the question, Lord, am I doing what Your will is for me and for what You have in Your will for me, what's in Your Bible? Am I living the way You want me to live, O Lord? And don't be distracted by others around you to doing something that you know is not the right thing to do. You know, this world presents many temptations to us. And it's difficult for some of us to fight temptation. And it happens from the preacher to the back door. The preacher gets tempted just like you get tempted. But you know something? You've got to be able to say to yourself, Lord, take me away from this situation. You've got to ask Him to guide your feet on the right path and send you to the right place and not send you to the wrong place. Am I walking in peace or am I walking in disturbance? You've got to ask yourself, am I doing this in remembrance of Him? Or am I doing this just because somebody expects to see me turn the cup up and take up the broken body? This is not something you should do lightly. And I know what a lot of folks say. They say, well, it's part of the service, so I ought to participate in it. But that's not the way to look at it. You've got to examine yourself. That's what the text says. Examine yourself. You've got to make sure that you're doing it in the right manner. And if your heart is not right with the Lord, you're probably doing it in the wrong manner. Now, I'm not going to condemn or condone anyone in here about it, but I'm just simply telling you that the Bible says, do this in remembrance of me. And if my mind is where I was at last night, I can't do this in remembrance of me. Now, if you were at home watching TV, that's a whole different story. But if you were somewhere else last night, your mind can't go back there. You've got to leave it all at the door when you enter in. You've got to leave it outside the door. You know, when the door is open this morning, guess who walked in? That's right. Somebody answered the question for me. He walked in just like you and I walked in. As a matter of fact, he's sitting out there in the pews right now. But you know something? You can't let him win. You cannot let him win. You've got to be able... Didn't the Bible tell us to put on the whole armor of God so that we can fight off the wiles of the devil? So let us remember that when you take part in the Lord's Supper, that's going to be taking place in a little bit, examine yourself before you do. And I'm not, again, not accusing anybody. I'm just simply saying, examine yourself. Ask yourself the question, am I right with God? And if you find yourself a guilty distance from God's throne, I'm going to be offering you the opportunity to come and get yourself right with Him in just a moment or two. I know my time is up and I'm about to sit down, but I just have to get this all out this morning. I want to say this morning that God was willing to wake me up this morning. He was willing to wake you up this morning. He was willing to give you the ability to get changed clothes and come on your merry way from your house to His house. Don't you think you ought to give Him a little something back, give a little something back to Him for that? Don't you think He deserves your honest opinion of yourself? That's why you're asked to examine yourself. And when you examine yourself, you answer yourself honestly of where you're standing with God or where you think you're standing with God. If this is your desire, we're going to give you the invitation. Now, you can come to God by hearing, believing, repenting, confessing, and then being baptized. Isn't it a nice day to go down in the water? Brother Jackson won't mind. The Lord will be happy to receive you and the church will be grateful to have you. And if you've already taken those steps, ask yourself the question, when you ask yourself the question, am I right with God? If you find yourself that you're not quite right with God, you've made a slip or an error, come forward, turn around, face the church, ask the church to pray for you. That you tell them that I've asked the Lord for forgiveness. Now I'm asking you to pray along with me for my well-being and that I may grow strong. If this is your desire, as we together stand and sing the song of invitation. Have you